You are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
With just over 2 weeks left until Selection Sunday, Two for Thursday on this podcast has to be on point. So that's why today's focus of Two for Thursday is all about Big Ten teams on the bubble. So hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is Thursday, February 25th. And on today's Two for Thursday, we focus on the two teams in the Big Ten Conference most squarely on the bubble, the Indiana Hoosiers and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. IU, as our resident bracketologist Kevin Sweeney sees it, is one of the last four teams in the bye category into the NCAA tournament. Minnesota, one of the last four teams in to the NCAA tournament. So we get both perspectives from Indiana and from Minnesota today. So joining us is our IU basketball, football, everything expert to talk all things Hoosiers. It is Jack Grossman, the host of the Crimson Coverage podcast. Back on this podcast, he hosts the Crimson Coverage pod for ESPN Louisville. He's doing everything for them, covering IU, Louisville, Bellarmine, all the stuff. Jack Grossman, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Ben. Always appreciate the time. And it's weird that, you know, our guy Kevin Sweeney, who I actually had on the Crimson Coverage podcast earlier this week, has Indiana ahead of Minnesota on the bracket line because, you know, we probably both agree that Minnesota is more likely with their great wins over Michigan, Ohio State, all those teams at home, and Iowa would have a stronger resume than Indiana, especially with what both teams have at the back ends of their schedules. But that's just where we're at right now. And kind of tells the story of where Indiana is at the moment, kind of trending downwards.
Minnesota has the quality wins. Indiana might have more wins. It's a very interesting dichotomy as we look to the NCAA tournament. But that's why we're here on Two for Thursday to discuss all things bubble watch in the Big Ten Conference. So, Jack, let's focus on IU. And before we look forward to what remains for Archie Miller and company, let's look back to Saturday. How disappointing was that result for Indiana losing to Michigan State?
Well, I'll put it this way. The Big Ten, in having two options to schedule, because IU's had two Big Ten games postponed, having the game at Michigan State and the game at Michigan, had a really, you know, interesting decision to make. Do you add the Michigan game, which Indiana would be very, very likely to lose, or do you add a Michigan State team who at that point was nowhere near the NCAA tournament picture, had kind of become a lost cause, a lost season, and the Big Ten threw Indiana a bone. Indiana's a starving dog trying to do whatever the heck they can to get into the NCAA tournament, and the Big Ten threw Indiana a big, juicy steak bone. And instead of eating that steak bone of them giving him an extra game against Michigan State against Michigan, giving Indiana a clear path to get the amount of wins needed to feel comfortable about them getting into the tournament, they lay an absolute egg at home in Simon Scott Assembly Hall, blowing a double-digit lead. Instead of eating the bone, being content, they said, nah, we're good. We're going to just go ahead, keep starving, and try to find our own path to find food to get into the Big Dance. And that's basically what it was, because Indiana gave up. And credit to Michigan State. They made an adjustment in the second half of that game, going small, playing five out. Heck, you saw how devastating it was against Illinois on Tuesday night, to where they very well might have found something legit that they can turn the corner on in the second half of that IU game. But that doesn't change the fact that Indiana gave up 1.486 points per possession in the second half. They got it combined 4 points from everyone not named Trace Jackson Davis, Armon Franklin, Race Thompson, and Jerome Hunter. Zero field goals out of the rest of the team. And they blew multiple double-digit leads in a game to a team that's 5-9, I guess now 6-9 in Big Ten conference play. So, I mean, like, it was an all-systems failure for Indiana on Saturday, especially when they get out to that great start. And you go from, you know, them winning 3 out of 4, feeling pretty comfortable and saying, okay, just take care of business against what was a crappy Michigan State team twice in your last four games. It almost doesn't matter what else you do in the other games. So now you really have to find a way to beat Rutgers on Wednesday night. Not just, you know, full disclosure on that, but it makes that Rutgers game a really critical game, to where if they win that, you can kind of forgive Michigan State a little bit. It gives them, again, a clear path to getting back to the tournament. But if they lost that game, then you really are wondering, okay, how can this team manage to be over 500 and be appealing to the committee to getting one of those last 4, 5, 6 at large spots?
So to continue your dog barking analogy, your dog and the bone there, after the Michigan State game, a lot of Indiana fans were barking for Archie Miller's head, and maybe rightfully so. Jack, you provided some great perspective on Twitter about Archie Miller's contract situation, but what do you think fans are feeling right now towards the head man in Bloomington at the helm of this basketball program?
It's as much pressure that he ever felt from the fan base, because it's been a very, very patient fan base for Archie Miller, a lot more patient than you would consider, you know, a traditional powerhouse program. I don't think Indiana's a blue blood anymore, but one of the top 7, 8, 10 programs in college basketball to be with Archie Miller. I have been a little bit more skeptical than most when, you know, he didn't make the tournament when he had Robbie Lake for Juwan Morgan on the roster a couple years ago. Yes, he would have made a tournament last season as a 10 seed, but if you don't make the tournament this year, you have 4 seasons under Archie Miller, and the best you have to show for it is a probable 10 seed in a tournament that didn't happen because of COVID. That's a real issue, and it's going to put Indiana in a spot to where the administration is going to have a decision to make after the season if Archie Miller does make the tournament, even if he does make the tournament. Because if you would have told someone 4 years into Archie Miller, the day he was hired, that you would be battling just to get into the field, and you had guys like Romeo Langford, Trey Jackson Davis that you recruited get 3 straight Mr. Basketballs from Indiana, develop Juwan Morgan into an all Big Ten forward, you would say, how the heck does that happen? There's too much talent there to be better than a 10-11 seed in year 4. And that's being the best case scenario. So Indiana has a choice to make of, do you let go of Archie Miller, pay the $10.35 million buyout and admit it's wrong, or do you have him as almost a lame duck as you wait for the buyout to drop in April 1st of 2022. And it's going to be an interesting decision that's going to come after the season. But if Archie Miller doesn't make the tournament, he's going to be feeling a lot more pressure from that fan base. People were not happy on Saturday, and it was about as angry at Archie Miller as people had ever been.
And as I have said, I think that the optics of Indiana not making an NCAA tournament played in the state of Indiana with games being played at Assembly Hall might factor in. Do you agree with that take? Do you think the optics of it make it look even that much worse for Archie Miller?
I think it does a little bit. I mean, it definitely would not be a good look at Purdue's playing as a 4 seed in Simon Scott Assembly Hall while Indiana's in an NIT game. That's not a great optic. But I do think the bigger picture of it is less of that and more the fact that you're Indiana basketball in year 4 at Indiana basketball. At damn least, you have to be in the tournament. There's no way to get around it. I mean, are people going to be significantly happier with Archie if he's an 11 seed and loses in the first 4 this year? Probably not. But at least you have something tangible of footage of Indiana in an NCAA tournament game. Indiana hasn't been to the NCAA tournament since I was a senior in high school. And I've graduated college now. I mean, I was a part of the first 4-year graduating class of Indiana to not see a NCAA tournament game with Indiana in it since the graduating class of 1971. So, or 1970, actually. So it's been a really long time. And yes, Tom Crean does play some role in that also with how things kind of fell apart after they won the Big Ten title in 2016. But it's year 4. There's only one player on the roster that was really heavily recruited by Tom Crean, and that was Al Durham. And even he was a guy that after Archie got the job had convinced Durham to stay pledged on with the Hoosiers instead of going somewhere else. So these are all of Archie Miller's players. The you can't blame Tom Crean anymore for what's going on in year 4. And you have to figure out, just give the fans some sort of sign of major progress. And they just have it at every time they get a big one. You know the stat, 3-12 in the game after beating ranked teams. They haven't won 3 games in a row since December 2019. This whole season, they haven't won 3 games in a row or lost 3 games in a row. So it's very much just tit-tat back and forth. If Archie Miller finishes to fail under 500, I know just spewing a bunch of stats out right now. Now, this season, he'll be the first IU coach ever to be 500 or under in each of his first 4 seasons in the Big Ten. I mean, it's just not a good trend. And at some point, you have to start asking the big questions of, is he the right guy for the job? And that question is harder to say yes today than it has been at any point under his tenure.
If you are a fan of either Indiana or Minnesota or any of the Big Ten teams that find themselves on the bubble for this year's NCAA tournament, these final couple weeks of the regular season are going to be very, very stressful leading up to Selection Sunday. But what's so easy and what can help take some of that stress away is the convenient self-service you receive at rockauto.com. Because it's a family-run business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years, when you go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, you can find everything, I mean everything that you need, from engine control modules, brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. That's what takes the stress out of the whole equation at rockauto.com. Sit on your couch, go on your computer, go on your mobile device, order what you need delivered directly to you in a safe, easy, stress-free way. That's the beauty about rockauto.com. And best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On, that's L-O-C-K-E-D space O-N, L-O-C-K-E-D space O-N, in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you here from the Locked On Podcast Network. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. Another thing that might take the stress out of your life, listening to me sing, listening to me do the jingle. All the parts your car will ever need. Rock Auto, rockauto.com. February is Black History Month, and the Locked On Podcast Network is honoring the challenges and success of Black men and women in sports with a new series called Locked On Presents More Than the Game. This week, we have two conversations for you to wrap up the month. First, a discussion on protests in sports across a variety of leagues. Then tune into the discussion on the importance of Black history in sports, what's been achieved, and the important work left to be done, all in the discussion on the Locked On Presents podcast feed. Subscribe on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. Back here on the Locked On Big Ten Podcast, 2 for Thursday bubble edition continues on with our Indiana everything expert Jack Grossman talking about the Hoosiers and if they have a shot of making the NCAA tournament. Jack Grossman, our Indiana everything expert, giving us all the insight not only on Archie Miller's future but the future of this Indiana team in this specific season. So Jack, let's focus on what IU has coming down the stretch. Right now ranked 54th in the net, four games left, including a game yesterday, but before we are recording. So in the time frame universe of everything, I want you to look into your crystal ball and tell me what happens in the game against Rutgers for Indiana on Wednesday.
You know, it's weird. When you look at the matchup, Indiana doesn't match up with Rutgers well, because if you look at, you know, what's given Trace Jackson Davis the few struggles that he's had all year, just going up against a really, really big athletic, sizable guy like Miles Johnson, which is who Rutgers has Kobe Coburn all being the other premium example of that. But in the first game, Trace Jackson Davis was only 4-10 from the field. One, you want him taking more than 10 shots in a game, and two, he didn't shoot a high percentage. So it would lead you to believe that Rutgers is once again going to try to take him out of the game, make other people beat him, and they have a one-on-one matchup that is capable of giving him a lot of trouble down low, to where you're going to need big games from Armon Franklin, Jerome Hunter, and more specifically, Al Durham and Rob Fennessey. When those two play well, Indiana generally is in games, have or are beating mediocre to really, really good teams. When they don't play well, like they did against Michigan State on Saturday, they were 0-10 from the field combined. Indiana, what do they do? They lose. It's simple as that. You need consistently good play from those two guys. They haven't gotten it all year. That being said, I have a really odd positive feeling about this game, even though there's not really any anything I can say to support that. And it's like, you know, the Tom Herman era at Texas for football. Every time that you had completely counted them out was when they would rise up and get a big win. Now, that was also the reason why Tom Herman has been fired from Texas, was because the only time they really played great was when their backs were completely against the wall. But the same can kind of be true for Archie Miller. You look back, you know, the Romeo Langford, Juwan Morgan, they lose 12-13, but the one they randomly win is at East Lansing over a Michigan State team that went to the Final Four. When they finally snapped that streak, it was against a top 15 Wisconsin team at home under Ethan Happ. You look at last season, they end a four-game losing streak by blowing out Iowa at home. This season, it looked like things were starting to teeter on the brink of going really bad, and then they find a Iowa. And they go again at home. So whenever everyone's totally counted them out, that's when they usually play their best basketball. So maybe they do find a way to win on Wednesday night, but I definitely don't think it's very likely. If they do win, though, that would put that would be their fourth quad one win, which would be really, really big. It would give them a really nice quality win to put back with the two Iowa victories as statement victories. And it would put them clear into the NCAA tournament picture, because if you look at it, it's all about trying to get over 500 for Indiana at this point. You have enough good wins. You have 8 quad one and quad two wins. You have the 2 statement wins over Iowa, but it's all about, can you finish over 500, and can you do that without having to rely on the Big Ten tournament, where Indiana has traditionally been absolutely dog crap. If you lose the game, you fall to 12-11 on the season. You have games against Michigan at home. You're not winning that. At Michigan State, a team you just lost to, which in theory you should beat, but that's definitely not as viewed as much as an easy victory as it was even a week ago. And then at Purdue, which we all know you're not winning. So at that point, Indiana more likely than not is going to enter the Big Ten tournament 12-14. Unless they pull something out of their head, beat Rutgers or beat Michigan State or do the impossible, winning one of those last two. So if they could win the Rutgers game, that would get them to 13-13 in the Big Ten tournament. And that would still require them winning 2 games in the Big Ten tournament to get over 500. So really, for Indiana to make the tournament, they need to beat Rutgers and they need to beat Michigan State. Is if they do that, they could get to Indy for the Big Ten tournament at 14-12. And even if they lose the first round game, they'd be 14-13. And I think that would be enough to get them in. But at this point, you've backed yourself against a wall to where you have to go out and beat teams you're not supposed to beat now. And that's really what Saturday did for Indiana. It took away that cushion of, you just have to take care of business and you'll be fine. Now you have to win some games you're not supposed to win.
A very dicey situation in Bloomington for the Indiana Hoosiers, but that's why we needed this perspective from Jack Grossman on this 2 for Thursday, focusing on the bubble, because it seems like it might burst pretty soon for Indiana, but we have to wait and see what happened to the Rutgers game, which we will know by the time you listen to this episode, and what remains for the final 3 games of the regular season in the Big Ten tournament. Our Indiana everything expert, Jack Grossman, bringing it as he always does, the host of the Crimson Coverage podcast for ESPN Louisville. He's also going to have a post-game show after the IU Rutgers game, but that's already happened, so maybe it didn't make any sense to share it there. But Jack Grossman, always.
Podcast at Jack Grossman 97 on Twitter. You hit me up anytime. You can laugh at me, make fun of me. Tell me anything. I don't care.
There you go.
I'll always enjoy it. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it.
So as our resident bracketologist, Kevin Sweeney, sees it, Indiana was one of the last 4 buys into the NCAA tournament. Minnesota is one of the last 4 teams into the Big Dance. So joining us now to talk about those Golden Gophers is the host of Locked On Golden Gophers, Nate Dickinson, back on the podcast. Nate, it's been a while since we last spoke. A lot has happened for Minnesota throughout that time. A lot of good home wins. No road wins, though, in that entire time since we have last spoke, but great to have you back on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ben. Yeah, it's been up and down for Minnesota right now, a team that's unfortunately headed down at the moment, at least the way things look. You're right, a lot of really good home wins over Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan already on the resume. But as things stand, Gophers are one of the last teams in, as you mentioned, and not healthy and not looking like they're doing anything to impress the committee as far as what have you done for me lately.
Yeah, one of those home wins they did not get was on Saturday against Illinois. In fact, losing by 31 inside the barn. What was the sense you got around the team after Saturday's loss to the Illini?
It feels a lot like last year's team. I've talked about this before. I think it was February 15th and after in the regular season. Minnesota had like 5 or 6 losses by single digits where things were really close at the end. And now Minnesota's rallied a couple of those together once more. They're right back on the edge of the bubble, where at the start of the month, Minnesota was in a spot where getting back on the bubble was kind of a worst case scenario at this point. But Minnesota's lost the games in the way that they needed to fall back down to that point. The team is down its best defender in Gabe Kalscher. That's shown in each of the last 2 games, especially against Illinois. And right now, there is good news around this team. The good news is that, as we'll talk about, the bubble right now is kind of favoring the way Minnesota's schedule looks the rest of the way. But right now, this team is still headed downhill and just looking to find a foothold. Hopefully it can in these last 4 games, because there are opportunities to do so.
I said at the very beginning of this episode, with so much on the line in the final home stretch of this Big Ten regular season, leading into the conference tournament, leading into the Big Dance, that this 2 for Thursday had to be on point. And it had to be electric, not only because of the bubble teams we're talking about, but because of the Thursday night of Big Ten action that we have on the horizon tonight. four games in the Big Ten Conference, Iowa and Michigan, Nebraska and Illinois, Ohio State and Michigan State, and Minnesota and Northwestern, as we are discussing with the host of Locked On Golden Gophers, Nate Dickinson. Where, when you have four games of Big Ten action in a single night, can you go to lay down all the money you want to wager to win your bets and to do it in the easiest way possible? That place would be betonline.ag. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. They have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds you can need. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. When I say it's the best way to place your bets, we have four huge games of Big Ten action tonight. Let's go through the odds, the spreads, the totals, everything from our friends at betonline.ag. The first game of the night, a top 10 matchup, a huge game in the Big Ten Conference, Iowa and Michigan. The Wolverines at home in Ann Arbor, a 4-point favorite, the over-under total 156.5. The second game playing at the same time, both of these games tip at 7 p.m. Eastern. Nebraska visits Illinois despite the upset loss to Michigan State on Tuesday. Illinois still a 16.5-point favorite over Nebraska at home, the over-under total 145. Then as we get to the 9 p.m. Eastern hour in our quadruple header. Yes, that's the word we're looking for of Big Ten basketball. It's Ohio State and Michigan State. Did the resurgent Spartans find something? Maybe, according to betonline.ag, because this spread is a lot more minimal than I would have thought it would be. Ohio State on the road, a 4.5-point favorite, the over-under total 148. Kyle Young will not be in action tonight for the Buckeyes in that game against the Spartans. Again, Michigan State, a 4.5-point home underdog, the over-under total 148. And then the last game of the evening in the Big Ten Conference, as we are about to discuss with Nate Dickinson, Minnesota hosts Northwestern. Good thing for the Gophers, it's in the barn. They are a 5-point home favorite over Northwestern, who has lost 12 straight Big Ten games, the over-under total 142.5. All of that coming from betonline.ag. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you put in the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. The Locked On Big Ten podcast is not the only conference show we have across the Locked On Podcast Network's college channel. We also have Locked On Big 12 with Josh Neighbors and Locked On SEC with host Chris Gordy. Both of those guys on both of those shows doing an incredible job keeping you up to date with all the latest news, moves, everything coming out of the SEC and the Big 12. Follow them at Locked On SEC and Locked On Big 12. Josh Neighbors with Big 12, Chris Gordy with Locked On SEC. Back here on our conference show, the Locked On Big 10 podcast, we continue our two for Thursday, all about the bubble teams in the Big Ten Conference. One of those teams, the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Speaking with Nate Dickinson, the host of Locked On Golden Gophers, about Minnesota's bubble chances of getting a bid into the NCAA tournament. Before we look at what Minnesota has remaining in their final four games, like you mentioned, Nate, at the beginning of this conversation, they've only won three games in their last 11 tries. How confident do you feel about this Minnesota team being able to turn things around for this home stretch of Big Ten play?
Well, the good news is that in the best conference in college basketball, there's 10 teams right now in the field of 68, according to Joe Lunardi. In the last four games, Minnesota plays three of the four Big Ten teams who are not in that field right now. So there's wins out there. The bad news is, as we've also talked about, two of those games are on the road, and Minnesota has not won there once all season long. So it's kind of a flip of a coin as to how you want to look at it right now. There's wins out there to be had, and I would think that even if Minnesota were to lose one of the games on the road or lose on the home at home to Rutgers, which is the only other tournament team left on the schedule, maybe even three wins in the next four on top of the wins over Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa. Those are wins no other team on the bubble has. Maybe that'll be enough to put Minnesota in no matter what happens in the Big Ten tournament. But there's a chance for Minnesota right now to get all the way into a point where they may even be safe going into Selection Sunday. It's not looking that way right now, though. The team needs to figure out the defense behind Gabe Kalscher. They need to figure out the scoring options right now. Jamal Mashburn Jr. has led this team in scoring the last three games. He's really good. He's a talented freshman who shows prospects of being able to do it on offense and defense. He can't be the Gophers' number one scorer right now at this point in the season. Marcus Carr needs to be that guy. Liam Robbins needs to be behind him. Someone like Gabe Kalscher or even Booth Gotch or Brandon Johnson need to be behind him too. I think Jamal Mashburn can be a good, like, 2B if the Gophers are going to be a solid tournament team, but he can't be the guy who's leading them as far as making plays on offense. And right now, it just seems like there's more and more problems popping up for this team that still needs to make the tournament before worrying about how it's going to beat the best teams in the country once it gets there.
So the final four game stretch for Minnesota in the Big Ten regular season against Northwestern tonight at home in the barn. That's a good thing. But then the next two on the road, but you would consider maybe favorable matchups going away from home at Nebraska, at Penn State, and then they finish the year with Rutgers in that regular season finale. But Nate, let's focus on those games on the road for Minnesota. Do you think there is a chance that these Minnesota Golden Gophers, who are winless on the road this year, can pick up two wins on the road in Big Ten play?
I mean, they certainly need them, right? I mean, even if you go into Selection Sunday with just one win away from the barn, people have talked about like, oh, when it happens, it'll finally be that breakthrough that gets Minnesota out of it. But there's no time for that anymore in the season. So you're either going to get one or two wins on the road. I do think Minnesota has the talent to be able to get through it. The big question is going to be that defense. Gabe Kalischer has been out two games. The team needs to figure out what happens on the perimeter defense without him there, because it seems to be affecting everybody else's defense too. I know this is like the third time I've mentioned it since we started talking, but it really is the biggest question mark with this Gopher team. The team's sliding down the hill right now, the same one that Gopher fans have kind of gotten used to. People are talking about Richard Pitino in not favorable ways because he's shown that he can get his team to a point where it's right at the edge of the tournament, maybe even win around a 64 game. But as far as going past the first weekend, there's been no signs of that. If Minnesota has another season that ends that way, these fans are going to start to get a little bit more restless. To get back to your question, as far as two road games go, I have no idea why Minnesota has been so poor and so good at home. Richard Pitino said the same thing. The splits are kind of really weird, even if there were fans at the stadium. So there's no explanation behind why this team's been so bad away from the barn. I do think that this team has the ability to be able to win both those games on the road against teams they should be better than, but that's the only reason why I think Minnesota will win them, is because they should be better than those teams. There's nothing that's happened so far on the road for Minnesota that leads me to believe it'll happen.
If Minnesota gets these two road wins, I would say, and I am not a bracketologist, but I would say the Golden Gophers would qualify for the NCAA tournament. Four quad one wins, all 10 of their losses as it stands right now, all coming in quad one. So no bad losses on the Gophers' resume. Two very big road contests, though, at Nebraska and at Penn State on the horizon for the Golden Gophers. But before those two road games, another team from Illinois coming into the barn tonight in the Northwestern Wildcats. Nate, how do you see this game playing out on this two for Thursday?
It needs to be a bounce back game for Marcus Carr. He's had a couple of these games down the stretch where I've talked about how Marcus Carr can be a guy who does everything. The only criticism you have really for his game is that every once in a while he has one of those dud games where I think he was somewhere around like 3 of 11, 4 of 11 shooting against Illinois. Now, Richard Pitino kind of leaned on this in the post game presser too. There weren't many teams in the country who were going to beat Illinois on Saturday afternoon. They were shooting 60% for most of the day. A lot of the second half ended up being just a pickup game. So there's not that many things I really take away statistically from the game. But when I do see that stat line again from Carr, I'm thinking I want to see him bounce back right away. You got to be looking at Liam Robbins too. We mentioned he was a shell of himself against Illinois, and you need him to be able to stay out on the floor for a while, whether it's health-wise or just making sure he doesn't pick up fouls as he's been prone to do. But this team is without a doubt more talented than I would argue all four of the games that are on the rest of the schedule: Rutgers, Northwestern, Penn State, and Nebraska. Whether or not they win those games, I have no clue. As I mentioned, there's no rhyme or reason as to why Minnesota's been so bad on the road. And there really hasn't been any sort of consistency as to what's made them so bad every time. There's no like one thing Minnesota's so bad at every single time they go away from the barn. It's something else that plagues them every time out. So the big question is, will Minnesota be the good Minnesota that we've seen them play against Michigan and Ohio State and Iowa? Or will they be the bad Minnesota that's gotten beaten up pretty badly by Maryland twice now and is kind of having fans wondering on the stretch whether or not this team really deserves to be in the tournament? A month ago, nobody in Minnesota would be saying that the Gophers have any chance of not making the tournament based on merit. Everyone was thinking that this was a team no doubt good enough to make the NCAAs. Right now, that's a little bit more of a question.
The good news for Minnesota fans, unlike the first team that we spoke with on this two for Thursday, Indiana, they have a very dicey final stretch of Big Ten play. As we have talked about, Minnesota a little bit more favorable of a home stretch in these final four games that get started in the barn, thankfully, tonight against Northwestern. Nate Dickinson, the host of Locked On Golden Gophers, providing all the information you can need about where this Minnesota team stands on this two for Thursday and their prospects for the NCAA tournament. Nate, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Ben. Always fun to come on.
So many thanks to both of my guests on this Two for Thursday. First, talking all things Indiana, Jack Grossman, our Indiana everything expert, the host of the Crimson Coverage podcast for ESPN Louisville, and then Nate Dickinson, the host of Locked On Golden Gophers, breaking down what Minnesota needs to do over this final four-game stretch that starts tonight to get into the NCAA tournament. Both of those teams squarely on the bubble, both with differing outlooks as we get to the home stretch of the Big Ten regular season. As we speak about that home stretch of the Big Ten regular season, only two more weekends left of this regular season before we get to the Big Ten basketball tournament. One of those weekends comes up in just a day from now. So we will have a full weekend preview on tomorrow's episode of the Locked On Big Ten podcast. But until we get to tomorrow, four great games of Big Ten basketball on this Thursday night. Enjoy it all and have a splendid Thursday.